Welcome to the Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Hyatt. So glad you joined me again today. We're continuing our series on overcoming fear. And yesterday we got into Psalm chapter 23. What an incredible psalm and declaration by David. Now, very often this psalm is read at funerals, and that's great, that's fine. But this is not just a psalm for funerals and death. This is a psalm for life. This is a psalm that provides tremendous faith and encouragement for living a fear-free life. And this is what David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And yesterday we talked about how the basis of this is there in verse 1 of Psalm 23, where he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he goes on and on through the entire psalm, but it's all based on this relationship with God and recognizing God as his shepherd. And of course, this was meaningful to David because he was a shepherd. Now, we talked about how this, in verse 1, it's really, in the Hebrew, it's one of God's covenant names, Yahweh Rohi, meaning the Lord my shepherd. In other words, it was God revealing to David and through David who he would be to and for his people. He would be their shepherd. Just like the Middle Eastern shepherd met the needs, he loved, he cared for the sheep, and he looked after them, that God would be their shepherd. Wow. And there are some powerful verses about these in scripture that we will look at. But I mentioned how that all of these Old Testament names of God are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And let me just read here where Jesus talked about himself being the good shepherd. And it's John chapter 10. And we will begin reading. We'll begin reading at verse 11. John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Yeah, the Middle Eastern shepherd, as we talked about yesterday, wasn't a 9-to-5 job. He lived in the wilderness with the sheep. He looked after them, made sure they had good pasture, made sure they had water, protected them from predators. And because he was there with them day and night, he developed an affectionate individual relationships with the sheep. And he would put his own life at risk for the sheep. Wow. And so Jesus is using this as a metaphor for himself. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." And he's already shown that, hasn't he? He has already shown that he has given his life for his sheep. I'm talking about you and I. Verse 12, he says, "But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep." Well, what a powerful message here, especially for the church and for pastors today. Jesus says, after saying, "I am the good shepherd," and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, he says, "But a hireling is a hired hand." There were times when the shepherd had to be away on business. Or maybe a family member died. He had to be away, so he would hire somebody to look after the sheep. They were there not because they cared for the sheep like the shepherd. They were there because of the money they were getting to look after the sheep. But notice what Jesus says about the hireling. But the hireling, the hired hand, the one who is doing it for wages, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming. He sees danger coming. And leaves the sheep and flees. In other words, he's looking, he's concerned about himself. He doesn't care for the sheep. He's looking after number one, himself. "And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling." My friends, a sad thing in the church in America, and I'm sure many parts of the world, the church, and I'm not saying this about everybody, because there are so many good churches and pastors. So much of the church has become institutionalized and professionalized. And there are many, I'm afraid there are many people in the pulpit that they are hirelings. They are there because of the salary and the benefits. I'll never forget some very good friends of ours. Couple, they're even older than we are, but we were in Bible school at the same time many years ago in the 1970s. And I remember them telling us about they were pastoring, I believe it was out in Virginia, and they were needing some help with their congregation. And so the Bible school we had all graduated from had a placement office to help place students. Now, we had been away from there, all had been away there from several years, and so they called the placement office and said they were looking for an assistant, a young man, and they liked the Bible school. It's where they had attended and so on. And so they put somebody in touch with them, and they were telling us about this. And they said this person, his concern was about what his salary would be and what the benefits would be. Now, when we had been in Bible school, you know, the emphasis was on sacrifice and be willing to go anywhere, be willing to do anything and make any sacrifice to take the good news of Jesus Christ to all of the world. And but they didn't see this kind of passion and commitment in this young person that they were talking to. And they said he just wanted to know what his salary would be, what kind of benefits he would have. And so they asked the placement officers, they said, what are you teaching those students nowadays? You know, they were looking for someone with the same kind of passion and commitment for Jesus, who loved people, who loved the Lord, and was willing to go anywhere and do anything. I had another pastor tell me about he was needing an assistant. This was a large church, very large church, church of, I would say, over 1,000 people, and he was needing some help. And so he contacted a Bible school, and they put a young man in touch with him. And this young man actually had just graduated from Bible school, and he was giving him a tour of their facilities and showing him, you know, and giving him an orientation of what his responsibilities would be. And the young man who had just graduated from Bible school was kind of quiet and didn't have much to say. So finally asked him, he said, well, what do you think about this? And the young man said, well, this is not what I had in mind. And so the pastor said, was a mature man of God. He said, well, what did you have in mind? And this young fellow just graduated from Bible school said, well, I want to fly around the country and teach faith seminars. And this pastor, Pastor Bob, said he was, you know, he would say this with tongues. He said he wasn't worth shooting. But he would see, this was this professionalized attitude towards ministry. But you see, in the New Testament, what we see are disciples of Christ, God calling people. Yes, God's going to look after us. And yes, the labor is worthy of his hire. But my friends, we are producing too many hirelings, too many who are entering the ministry because of what they think they can get out of it, because they think that there is something glamorous about it and they can kind of be up in front of people in the public eye. My friends, the true shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. He doesn't run when he sees the wolf coming, when he sees danger approaching. He doesn't start looking for a better gig, for a better opportunity with another church somewhere who will give him a bigger salary where there won't be so many problems. No, we need shepherds today. We need pastors who actually care for the sheep, and they're willing, like Jesus, to lay down their life for the sheep. And so Jesus said then again, verse 13, he said, the hireling, the hired hand flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. May God deliver the church from hirelings, from those who are in the ministry for what they can personally benefit. May God give us pastors and Christian leaders who love him, who agape him, and who agape the sheep that he entrusts, his sheep with whom he entrusts them, and are willing to lay down their lives for the sheep. Hey, you know, and as it said in 1 John, when we begin to come into that place, you see, that's that agape love that casts out fear. And so Jesus is the good shepherd. He is our shepherd. And he's not our shepherd for what he can get out of us. I mean, he would have gotten out of it long ago. But no, he is willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. and he lays down his life for the sheep. And the Bible tells us that even now he is at the right hand of the Father, continually making intercession for us in order that he might save us to the uttermost. That's Hebrews 7:25. Oh, thank God for this shepherd that we have. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord, I want you to start saying today, the Lord is my shepherd. You can even say, Jesus is my shepherd. And because Jesus is my shepherd, I shall not want. And because Jesus is my shepherd, I will fear no evil, no matter what kind of valley I pass through. Because Jesus is my shepherd, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is Eddie Hyatt. This is the Awakening Podcast. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. If you enjoy these episodes and God is blessing you, and you'd like to give a donation to our ministry to help us to keep spreading God's good news all over the world, there is a donate button there. By the way, just got an exciting email from a Christian leader in Africa who is listening to these podcasts, and he's gathering in other people, and they're listening to these podcasts together in Uganda, Africa. Isn't that exciting? God bless you all. I'll see you tomorrow.